Our reading for Friday, July 3rd, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. A couple of years ago, we spent the entire year going through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, doing one lesson per month on love. And I think that was a very beneficial time for us. This is a very, very important chapter. If we don't understand love, then we don't understand the gospel. The gospel is love. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus loved us so much that he willingly died for us, even though he was asking God to let that cup pass from him. He dreaded how terrible that sacrifice was going to be. But he did it because it was the will of the Father, it was the plan of the Father, and because he loved us. Look at all the compassion and love that Jesus showed during the time that he was on this earth. The Gospels are full of it. Go and read them again if you didn't catch it the first time. So what Paul is teaching here is the importance of love. And when he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, okay, so that which man lauds as being something great, something to be admired, something to be lauded, then he says, even if I can do these things that everybody thinks is so great, so wonderful, but I don't have love, he says, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, you all know that I have a music background. I was in band all the years of junior high and high school. I studied music in college. And I understand that a cymbal or a gong, they have a very important place within a piece of music. They can punctuate a very important part. I'm not a percussionist, so I don't know all the ins and outs, but you know, there's different things you can do with a cymbal that are going to add an effect to the piece of music. That if it's missing, then there truly is something missing. It has suffered because of it. But if you get somebody back there that's just going away on that cymbal, just banging on it and beating on it and making all sorts of noise, it doesn't add anything. It becomes an annoyance. And we will very quickly tell them, cut it out. I don't want to listen to that. So it's just useless. It doesn't have a place. And that's what he says. It doesn't matter what spiritual gifts these Corinthians might have had. It doesn't matter what abilities they might have had. It doesn't matter who was the one to baptize them, or who was the one to teach them, or who they claim they're following. None of those things matter if love is not part of the equation. It's like multiplying by zero. It becomes nothing. It becomes zero. He says, if I have prophetic powers, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. There's just nothing there. That's how important love is. And you really cannot fulfill the requirements that God has given us without love. What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God. What is the second? To love your neighbor as yourself. If we do not understand and practice love, then we do not understand and practice Christianity. It says, if I give away all I have, I deliver up my body to be burned, and have not love, I gain nothing. And then he begins to describe love. And of course, all of these things we learn from God himself. Our Father in heaven reveals himself to us, and he sets the standard of love so incredibly high, and he teaches us what love really is. Love is just not just a warm feeling that I have towards somebody because they've done good things for me. It's not something I just have for my parents because they fed me and clothed me and burped me and held me and all those things when I was a baby. Love is not just something that we have because I'm attracted to a member of the opposite sex. Love is much more. He says love is patient and kind. Even though God's patience has a limit, he demonstrates incredible patience with us, and that he gives us chances to serve him and to repent. In fact, the gospel itself is a manifestation of God's patience, that he has sent his Son to give us another chance at salvation. He says love does not envy or boast. In other words, love doesn't make it all about me. Love doesn't make it where other people don't matter. Love focuses on others instead of self. It is not arrogant or rude. Who enjoys being around somebody who's arrogant and rude? I mean, we see television shows where there's a character that's arrogant and rude and nobody wants to be around them. It makes everybody go away from them, and we laugh at that. But nobody wants to be that person. Nobody wants to be the person that everybody can't stand. That's not the way love is. We can't be patient and kind and arrogant and rude at the same time. It does not insist on its own way. Again, love is not selfish. It is the opposite of selfish. It is not irritable or resentful. Or another translation there would be irritable and does not count up wrongdoing. In other words, I don't keep a tally of everything that you've said that upset me and everything you've done that made me angry. I'm not doing that at all, because love forgives. Love covers these things. When I love somebody, I don't take things personal. I think about over the years, I've had people that probably were not meaning to, that said things that were hurtful to me. They may have thought that they were doing it in jest. They may have thought that they were doing it even out of love, you know, thinking that I needed to hear those things. But they were hurtful things. But because I love them, I don't hold on to stuff like that. I've learned that it's just not worth it. The relationship is more important than getting an apology or holding a grudge. And that's what love is. That's what God teaches us. For we have truly offended God with our sin. We have truly hurt him with our sin. Yet what is God ready to do? He is ready to forgive us if we simply repent. Love rejoices with the truth. Or we could also say rejoices in the truth. Truth is important. We do not want to embrace a lie. We do not want to embrace falsehood. And so we search out and find the truth, and then we rejoice in it, because that truth will spur on our love. Love bears all things. Well, that's endurance because of love. That is being able to endure because we want a better outcome. Love truly is a desire to have what is best for someone. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, then we want what is the absolute best for them. And of course, there is nothing better than the salvation of their souls. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And that brings comfort to me, to know that I have a loving Heavenly Father and that His love doesn't run out. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes... Now be careful with that word perfect. Perfect means complete. When we think of perfect, a lot of times we think of beauty. Well, that's just perfect. That's a perfect sunset. It meets my expectations is what we're saying. Or it even exceeds our expectations. Years ago, I went out to Inks Lake and I wanted to photograph the sunset. And I tried to plan it around the weather so that we would have some clouds, but we would still see the sun so that we would get some color for me to capture it with the photograph. And we were out there for a pretty good while, and I was just ready to give up. I was just ready to decide we're not going to get what I'm looking for. And that happens. You know, we don't always get a beautiful, colorful sunset. And so I was just about ready to pack up everything, put up the tripod, when all of a sudden the sky began to turn bright red. And the colors just came out, just all of a sudden, no warning whatsoever. And after I captured those, I went home and I looked at the pictures and I thought, that was worthwhile. That was a perfect sunset. It was better than what I expected. That's what we're talking about when we say something is perfect. It has met or exceeded our expectations. But that's not what Paul is saying here. When he says perfect, the word is complete. When we have it completed. And what was being completed at the time? Well, it was the deliverance of the Scriptures through the Holy Spirit by the hands of the apostles and other inspired men. And when that revelation was complete, there wouldn't be a need for that inspiration anymore. So the prophecies will pass away and the tongues will cease. The miraculous knowledge will pass away. Because that was only part. It was only partial. It was only incomplete. So when it has been completed, then the partial is no longer needed. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. I became a man. I gave up childish ways. When I became mature, when I became complete, that is when we gave up that which was incomplete. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Mirrors were a little different back then. Mirrors were polished metal. And I don't know if you've ever looked at polished metal, maybe chrome or polished aluminum, something along those lines. And yes, you can see your image in it. And you can probably notice that your hair is out of place and you might comb your hair a little bit. But it's nothing like looking in our modern day mirrors in our bathroom, is it? So realize the importance of what he's describing. You see in a mirror dimly. In other words, the image is not completely clear. You see the outline, you see some details, but you don't have all the details. So he says, now I know in part, then I shall know fully. Just like seeing something face to face, we see it very clearly. We see all the details. We see the completeness of it. That's what he's describing. And this is based on chapter 12, where they were jockeying for position based on their spiritual gifts. And he goes into chapter 13, after dealing with that, he says, none of that matters if you don't have love. And then he points out that all those things were temporary. They're not going to last. There is a time period for those things, and when that time is up, they disappear. But love is lasting. And so verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let us embrace love. We'll pick up on chapter 14 on Monday. Thank you again for coming to listen to our daily readings and our comments. Please continue with your fervent prayers that God may be with us all.